This episode of Pat Trek is brought to you by Basecamp. When you use Basecamp to run projects, people know what to do. People know where things are, and you stay on top of everything all the time. And I'd like to thank the Chicago Podcast Co-op for hooking us up with that sweet, 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 sweet sponsor. The Chicago Podcast Co-op is a collective of truly amazing podcasts, all from the city of Chicago. Go to ChicagoPodcastCoop.com for more info.
The late 80s. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television. And to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, and welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend Pat O'Rourke introduces me, Patrick Winninger, to Star Trek The Next Generation, a show that I've never seen.
And I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick! Oh boy!
Pen Pals!
Oh boy!
Pen Pals is the episode we're talking about.
Oh god, man.
I'm trying to sound excited, man.
I feel like we've been through this.
We have.
Yeah.
And it was a better episode.
Exactly.
I forget the name of it, but it was the one where they had those ships, and one of them was selling spice to the other group.
Yeah, that one was great.
That was cool.
The drug dealer one.
Yeah, had a huge talk about the Prime Directive.
Yep.
Had the exact same talk in this one.
And even, like, the same problems with the Prime Directive.
Yeah.
It's like, what are we doing here? We've been here.
It sounds like you can just find a loophole.
Yeah, exactly. Well, according to Brian Sebi, our friend and resident Star Trek expert,
right,
the Prime Directive is actually, you know, shades of gray. It's not like a hard and fast rule.
Well, it sounds like he said that they have a contingency plan, basically. Like, they have different ways that you, like, subsets of the rule.
Yeah. Well, sort of, it's not really subsets. It's like interpretations.
Right. It's like they have some kind of constitutional law going on.
Yeah, exactly. How you look at an amendment. What does freedom of speech truly mean,
yeah,
right? To what limits does it have? But again, we've already had this conversation.
Yeah, I know. And it took them, I mean, we'll get into it with the episode.
Oh, boy.
But
yeah.
The first 30 minutes of this episode were about rocks.
And Wesley Crusher just not crushing it this week.
No. He tried, man. He tried his best.
Well, I got a fun fact.
Okay. I don't, but you go ahead with yours.
There's a glimmer of hope.
Oh, yeah?
This is the first time Captain Picard actually gets his Earl Grey tea.
Oh, that's right. It was the last time he ordered it and a plant came out.
Yeah, exactly. So the very first time he uses his hot catchphrase, he doesn't get the tea.
Well,
and I was very disappointed. But this time, he goes, Earl Grey, hot, and bam, he gets it.
It's actually there.
Yep, there you go. Best part of the episode, Picard drinking Earl Grey tea.
That part was pretty cool. Well, Pat, I have Patrick's log. This came out May 1st, 1989. And you know how I've said that there's a lot of parallels to the present day.
Yes.
With these headlines.
Yes, yes.
And last week, Donald Trump was elected president, which is a difficult sentence to say.
This isn't a political show, but I've been
really
punchy all week.
Oh, I have too. Every day I wake up and the phrase, Donald Trump is president-elect, comes into my head, and I'm just like, fuck. And already my day is worse.
Yeah.
But this is the headline.
Okay.
For May 1st, 1989.
Oh, God.
Angered by attack, Trump urges return of the death penalty. This came up during the campaign, if you remember, the Central Park Five.
Yes.
So, for those of you that don't really remember, the Central Park Five were a group, I believe, of four African-American teens and one Puerto Rican teen were accused of, it was a pretty brutal rape case, and they were automatically assumed to have been the suspects. And it turns out,
yep,
after they spent, one of them spent up to 13 years in prison, someone else confessed in 2002.
Right.
They did not do it.
Right.
There's a whole, like, Ken Burns documentary about it. They did not do it. But in May of 1989, Donald Trump took out a full-page ad in the New York Times saying, we need to bring back the death penalty. It had, like, in huge block letters, like, protect our police, bring back the death. It says, bring back the death penalty, bring back our police. And there was like a bunch of stuff in there about how civil rights aren't protected when they're criminals or something. This is 1989, by the way.
Right.
That guy's president now. To quote,
I don't even know what to say. Like, I just don't.
I think it was, what was that guy, Dennis Green, who was the coach of the Arizona Cardinals. In 2006 or 7, they lost to the Chicago Bears, and he had this press conference where he just goes, they are who we thought they were. Well, in my opinion, he is who we thought he was.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the headline from May 1st, 1989.
Hey, you know,
the day that this episode came out.
Only optimism is that the Federation is going to come after Donald Trump's presidency.
Yeah, but isn't there like a huge war that happens?
Wait, what? Yeah, well, yeah. I'm not going to say we're going to get to enjoy the Federation, but
aren't there
hopefully
like,
from the ashes will rise.
Aren't there like super soldiers that are all drugged up or something?
Oh, yeah. That's all to come in our lifetimes.
Okay. That was in the first episode,
yes.
TNG, and we saw that.
There was basically World War III, and then after that... Huh. We were in this police state. Everything was really chaotic.
Oh, cool.
You know, resources were really hard to come by.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
But from there, we banded together. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
Okay, well, I think
And now we live in this utopian age.
Yeah. Well, I think I was telling you before we started, is like, man, I just, pretty excited. I just got paid overtime for the
right.
first time.
That's right.
It starts in December. I'm pretty pumped about that. I've been working a lot of unpaid overtime at my job. And that's a new Department of Labor thing. And then I was like, fuck. That's going to go away.
Oh, gosh.
Among other terrible things.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And hey, I'm sure we're upsetting a few listeners with this conversation.
I'm sorry.
And our apologies. This is just kind of who we are. It's just, we're in Chicago, a couple Chicago liberals. I don't want to, like, apologize for point of view.
Yeah, I know. It's just that it is what it is. If you follow me on Twitter, you'll see the two things that I care about most of my life besides my dog and my wife, Leslie, are Alabama Crimson Tide football and Democratic Socialism. So I apologize.
And if you follow me on Twitter, you're going to know the two things I care about the most are Star Trek and Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah. Well, those things are also cool. We can get into the Star Trek now.
Yeah, let's
I guess.
Get into the Star Trek.
I saw that headline and that just set me off.
Yeah. Oh God. I was like, we're not going to talk about the presidency on this podcast, but of course,
it's hard not
to. We got right into it.
We did our last Politicked Off live stream,
yeah.
And it stopped being funny halfway through.
Yeah, I was watching part of it, and my stomach hurt too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Know, the problem, too, is this episode of Star Trek does not instill optimism into anybody.
And y'all may be listening to this and thinking that, oh, wow, they filled it 10 minutes of just not talking about Star Trek. Not a lot happens in this episode.
No,
I was
not
thinking,
much.
Like, how we're going to fill in time to talk to talk about pen pals. Because someone having a pen pal is the most exciting thing that happens in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
It opens up, they're going to the Selkundi Drema sector. There's a bunch of planets there that have been blowing up, basically. Riker is in command on the bridge, and he describes it as the planets live hard and die hard. That's the
no,
only
he
way.
Says live fast, die hard,
oh,
which
live
reminds
fast and
me
die hard.
Of a Bruce Willis movie that came out a few years ago.
No, that was live free or die hard.
Oh, damn it.
Because live free or die is the state motto of not Massachusetts, New Hampshire.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I thought it was live fast and die hard.
I mean, that's what they were going for. But that's like the only way that Riker is able to talk. It's not just like, oh, yeah, their core is unstable, and so it blows up. He's like, these planets
live fast, die hard.
They party.
Die hard five.
And, yeah, so that's what's going on. They're like going there to study it, and... It is constantly happening. It's like cataclysmic reactions. Meanwhile, Captain Picard is walking to the holodeck with Troy, and he's dressed up in like horseback riding stuff.
Yeah.
He's got like breeches and all this stuff, and you know, he's talking about riding horses. They go
Picard reveals his love of horses
this
in this
like
episode.
The fifth hobby this guy has.
Well, he's worldly. Come on.
I know, but how like all right, so I know scarcity isn't a thing anymore in the Star Trek universe, so you know, it's like some kind of future socialist utopia. People have a lot of free time mm-hmm. to pursue the things that they like to do. I can understand that he would pick one or two extra hobbies up, but he knows like how many languages. He knows archaeology. He like messes around with plants or something.
Well, right. He's
sword
has
fighting.
This fascination with the old world.
Oh, is that what
Think
that is?
About it, right? Oh. Archaeology, horseback riding,
sword fighting,
knowing various languages,
noir mysteries.
Yeah, it's all stuff. It's all like retro throwback stuff. So Picard is a hipster.
So yeah, this would be considered really weird by everyone.
It would be. It's all like century old hobbies.
Yeah, you were telling me that like in Deep Space Nine, there's a guy that's really into baseball.
Yeah, Captain Sisko.
And everyone think that they're
oh,
like,
they
that's
find
crazy.
It so bizarre, and he makes them play catch with him.
It's
and
like
stuff.
Being into Rounders or something now. Like,
that's right.
Yeah, I guess I didn't think about that.
Yeah, it's cool. Well, also, Deanna Troi's reaction to this is like, I don't know why you would want to ride this beast.
Yeah, well, part of it is because she's part Betazoid, and she points out, like, Picard's like, oh, you want to try? And, it, you know, they go into the holodeck, where there's this nice little meadow and a horse, and she says that Betazoids actually connect too much to the animal.
Yeah, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, well, so how did a lot of civilization develop on their planet? Like, that just got me thinking, it's like, they don't have beasts of burden. Like, they wouldn't be able to use them.
No, I don't think they would. Or if they did, they were so long ago in their history.
Oh, yeah.
They do have pets. She mentioned she had a Betazoid kitten that did not get along with her mother.
Oh, that's right.
Right. And if it's a Betazoid kitten, that implies to me the kitten also has telepathic abilities.
Man, that would be weird.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing I don't know, which probably should have looked up before we started podcasting, but is everything on Betazoid have these kind of, you know, these skills?
Yeah, that's weird to think about.
Like
they don't really
like
get
a
into
dog
it.
And,
yeah,
it'd be pretty cool.
They're, but they're like they're talking about like the bond between human and horse, and you know, just as he's climbing up on the horse and about to enjoy his day, he gets a call from the bridge, and Riker's like, "Hey, man, this planet's blowing up. You might want to check this out."
Well, here's what's funny about this is they're still super far away, and they had to use like the best zoom they have. To be able to show it.
Yeah.
Picard would have plenty of time to ride that horse.
Yeah.
If Riker would have just chilled out for a few minutes and been like,
duty
Picard,
calls,
check this
man.
Out in 45 minutes.
Yeah, duty calls, man. So there's something going on with this planet, and it is blowing up in some way that they've never seen before. They had sent probes there. It's destroying the probes. So they call a senior staff meeting in the conference room or observation lounge, and they're trying to get a team together to investigate what's going on here. And this is like, they see this is a good opportunity to give Wesley, you know, a chance to lead. It's an important mission, but no one's going to die if it screws up. You just want to investigate the planet and scan it and see what's going on. And Troi points out that if he's given some kind of self-confidence, that'll help him on later missions.
Yeah.
And as we find out in this, you know, in this episode, that does seem to be the case. That's a thing he needs to work on. And
oh my God, and does he ever
God,
have
he
to
is,
work on
Jesus,
it?
Jesus, they just walk all over him.
He's second-guessing himself I the know. Whole time. It's like, you are not ready to be the boss, man.
Yeah, so Picard is like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And they call Wesley in, and they tell him all this stuff. He's like, now look, part of being a leader is ask us for help. You know, you're not the boss, but you're a boss. So
well, they must instantly regret this piece of advice.
Yeah. They're like, just come to us if you ever need anything. And it kind of plants a seed in his head. I think it plants a seed in his head that you don't know what the hell you're doing, Wesley.
Yeah, you dummy. Also, he doesn't know what the
he
hell he's
doesn't.
Doing.
No. So
remember, he never went to academy.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they put him
that.
In charge of all these people
well,
who
they,
graduated.
They
right?
point out that it's like, this is part of his training.
But, okay, fine.
So if he go, if he wants to go through the test again, like this would help, I guess. This is the conceit here, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. Well,
I don't know.
So
it's
he's
stupid.
He's like
it's
going,
still stupid. Maybe that guy who's working on those rocks, he should be the one in charge because he's working on all the rocks already.
Yeah, that's all they're doing. They're looking at rocks, by the way.
Yeah.
This is the first half of the episode is looking at rocks.
And I warned you guys, I'm kind of punchy today. But it's kind of like telling somebody who's been doing this job for like a decade, oh, by the way, your job is so throwaway, this kid is going to be
yeah,
your boss.
Yeah, a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Somebody's son. Some officer's son.
Yeah, yeah. Who's all cozy with the captain.
Right. So he's walking down the hallway and he's talking to Wes.
It's nepotism, Patrick.
It is. And this is supposed to be bred out of us.
Yeah, what the hell?
This is, now I'm mad.
Yeah.
This is just like fucking Trump.
God damn it. Someone give Wesley his $1 million to learn how to be a goddamn officer.
So Wesley's walking through the hallway with Riker and Troy.
Oh, no.
And, you know, he's just, like, nipping at their heels the whole time, like, oh, who do I have? I'm thinking about this guy for this and this guy for this. And they're like, look, man, just pick people. You're in charge.
We put you in charge of this because it doesn't matter.
And they're like, he's like, well, what if they don't like each other? He's like, who cares?
They're professionals, you dummy.
They're supposed to like each other. He's like, oh, so being a leader means I'm like a counselor too? It's just like, yeah, I guess. You solve disputes.
I also love
just make sure they do their job.
Yeah. He's worried about personal conflict, which in Star Trek, there's almost no personal conflict between people ever.
That's the entire point. They like got all the regression out of their brains somehow.
Yeah.
So he sets up some guy, Davies, for geochemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So Davies is that guy that you mentioned before with the rocks.
Yeah.
It cuts to this lab, and there's this guy messing with rocks, and Wesley comes in and introduces himself. Davies is older, so Wesley's apprehension about all this stuff is like, all these people are older than me. They're not going to listen to me. And it turns out they don't.
Right.
Because he's like, oh, hey, Davies, I was thinking about this person and this person for volcanology. He's like, nah, I wouldn't do that.
He's also super timid as he's giving his orders.
I know. And Davies just walks all over him. Yeah. He's like, hey, man, you know, if you ever need us to step in and take over for you, just give us a signal and we'll do it. Which you said when we were watching, he's like, man, that's a dick move.
It is a dick move.
And it is a dick move. But then I was thinking, the way that he said it, it sounded so routine that it was like, yeah, it happens all the time where they give you some boring, unimportant mission and, you know, we just do it for you, man. It's fine.
Yeah,
we'll do your homework.
See, to me, I read that, though, as him, you know, it's like when seniors tell the freshmen there's a pool on the roof.
Yeah, they could be like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I pictured it. Like, don't worry about it. We got it.
Yeah.
We got you covered, Wesley. Spoiled brat.
Right. Then he ends up like passing out and get a bunch of dicks drawn on his forehead or something. Davies, you scamp. So Wesley's
scamp.
Wesley's trying to fix this by going to Riker, who is of course chatting up some lady in 10 forward.
Yeah, why not?
And
he's bored.
They're
doing a really boring mission.
This is an incredibly boring mission. They're trying to see what blew up this planet. They're scanning rocks.
Yeah.
This is all that's happening. The entire point of this mission is that it's so boring they give it to Wesley.
We're like 20 minutes into the episode.
This is a third of the episode.
Yeah. I was shocked because I was just daydreaming through half of this.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, when are we going to get to the point?
Right.
Yeah.
So Wesley's talking to Riker. He's like, hey, you know, I can't control these people. And Riker's just basically talking to him about what makes a leader. Is like, look, part of this is just responsibility. We picked you for this because we know that you're responsible. It doesn't matter. You don't have to know what you're doing all the time. These people are subordinate to you, and they know what they're doing. Just be responsible for their actions.
Yeah.
Direct them and trust that they know what they're doing. That's it. That's all you got to do.
How does Picard do it?
Right. He delegates.
Yeah, exactly. And he listens to all points of view, and then he makes a decision.
And then he makes a decision.
Well, what if I make the wrong decision?
It's like, it doesn't matter, dude. Just make the decision. He's like, you're not going to be perfect.
Also, you're studying rocks.
Scanning rocks, dude.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to die.
It's going to be fine.
It's fine. Just chill out, Wesley. There's another like very brief scene where Data is putting like all these cards into slots, and he's listening to the frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a bunch of shit all over the floor.
Oh, finally. Something else is happening.
The B-plot.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's basically playing with a ham radio.
Mm-hmm.
He's listening for different frequencies. Worf comes up and asks what he's doing. He's basically trying to find other intelligent life.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to filter out stuff from background noise in space.
Why is he doing this?
I don't know.
Do they
he's
tell
just
us?
He's just interested. He's just tinkering,
just to see
basically.
If there's other life there?
Yeah. He's just kind of tinkering.
I mean, it's good that he does, I suppose.
And then back in the lab, they find that there's some unstable level of dilithium, which that's what they run the ship on, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Dilithium crystals.
So it forms a matrix, and it like has this harmonizing effect that tears the planet apart. Crusher is, hey, should we scan for like more of this stuff? Should we figure out what's going on here? Like,
what you want us to do? That much work?
That takes 5 hours.
We're not going to do that. 5 hours. You have literally nothing else to do.
There's nothing. What else are you doing?
Yeah, we're talking about rocks this episode. Keep yourself busy.
He's like getting bullied by these people.
He is.
They're not listening to him. I think he eventually takes control of the situation.
Well, he goes back and he talks again.
Yeah. So they do it. It's just
He's got to be convinced to remind them that it's important and they better do it.
Yeah.
And I guess that's supposed to be a big moment for Wesley.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Scan the rocks. Says Wesley.
There's literally nothing else happening. Just scan them.
While Data's scanning through his frequencies, he hears another voice. Mm-hmm. And it's asking, is anybody out there? And he answers
Data.
It.
Data, you should not answer that. Prime directive.
He did.
We know that you shouldn't be answering it because we've seen this in several other episodes.
Yep. He starts talking to this person while they're scanning rocks.
What do you think compels him to do that?
I don't know. Curiosity?
Boredom? I know I'm bored.
Everyone is bored in this episode.
Including the viewers.
Yeah. Picard is out riding his horse.
Yeah.
He's been there doing this whole time. Data comes and talks to him. He's like, so a little bit of a problem.
Yeah.
I broke the prime directive.
Yeah, kind of a big problem.
I was just messing around with my ham radio, and I said hello to somebody. Turns out they don't have warp technology.
Oh. Also, Yikes. Turns out they're on that planet that's in the process of blowing up.
So their planet is dealing with the same problem that they're... rocks that they're scanning now. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of dilithium crystals forming, and it causes the planet to break apart. This girl that he's talking to, Sarjenka, is looking for help.
Yeah.
So they're in a bit of a dilemma.
Yeah, they are. Do they help her? They shouldn't even be talking to her.
Nope.
That's an interesting point we're at now.
Yeah. By the way, this is 8 weeks have passed.
Ugh.
Yeah. 8 weeks have passed in this episode. He's been talking to this girl for 8 weeks while they've been scanning rocks.
So all they did for 8 whole weeks is scan rocks?
Yeah.
God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Like, all that happens.
Yep. I mean, luckily, they skipped that part. We didn't watch this episode in real time. But
also, that means Picard has been riding a horse for 8 weeks.
He's been riding a horse, man. He's on vacation.
Yeah, enjoying himself.
So Picard is like, you got to stop talking to this girl, dude. You can't do that.
Yeah, that's a huge problem.
Yeah. But then they have to call a meeting to figure out what to do about the planet blowing up.
And everybody needs to speak freely.
Yeah. So Picard and Worf are saying, look, helping these people, that's a violation of the Prime Directive. We got to leave them.
I get so mad at Worf because Worf goes, there's not various degrees of the Prime Directive. It's black and white.
Well, it's pretty clear that there are.
There are. They've broken it so many times if it's black or white.
Yeah.
And Worf has been there when they've broken it all those other times. Worf, what are you talking about? If that's true, you should all be in jail right now.
Right.
You should be in space jail.
Space jail.
Because you ignore the Prime Directive. You've ignored it at least, what, six times?
As I've also seen in this show, it's very easy for Klingons to break out of space jail. So maybe
just
he just doesn't care.
Hide a weapon in your shoe.
Right. Yeah. But Geordi and Pulaski are on the other side, and they're pretty adamant. They're like, look, these are millions of people. They're a sentient race. They will die. We can't let that happen. Riker and Troy are kind of like in the middle, and they're like, look, this is bad. I agree that it's terrible. But it's kind of part of this cosmic plan that we can't really interfere with. And if we do, what if we cause something worse to happen?
Exactly.
We don't know.
Like, what if we accidentally killed all of those people when we took them off of that drug?
Right.
Last season?
Exactly.
And they all went through DTs and died. Like, we don't know.
They actually
But we did make that decision already.
They bring that up at the end of that episode. They're like, Picard, do you want to follow up with this and see what happens? He's like, absolutely not.
Better not. I couldn't live with that on my conscience.
Maybe they're probably all dying of DTs, so I'm not gonna figure out what happened. I saved them. Yeah. That's what I did.
We don't think they're dying, but they might be.
They might be dying in the worst way possible. Yeah.
I did give that episode a set to kill.
I like that one.
That one was so good. And again, very similar issues that they're discussing.
Yeah. Picard brings up, okay, so you all agree we should interfere in the case of a natural disaster because millions are dying.
Yeah.
What if it's genocide and we have to go to war? what if it's they're living under a tyrant and we have to go to war? Would you go to war then? And they're like, no. I assume they have the Iraq war in their history databanks or something. And, you know, they're very hesitant because they're the Federation, you know?
And they shouldn't be interfering in war.
Yeah, that's, and he says, you know, part of the prime directive is not just to protect the people that we would interact with. It's to protect us and the rest of the universe.
Which is like, booyah, Picard. That's great. That's a great point.
Right. And so he tells Data, all right, I want you to cut this transmission off to Sarjenka. And as he's doing it, it plays the transmission. And it's Sarjenka is terrified because her planet is blowing up. And it's been like a week or so. And she's like, why aren't you responding to me? I'm so scared. And then Picard is like,
she does say, help me. We need your help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has and this help. Is a point that someone brings up, that they are in contact and they're asking for help. And that could be their way out. That's kind of like their escape hatch.
Well, proves it's not black and white.
It's not black and white, yeah. So Picard's like, I can't listen to that. We got to do something. Way to go, Data.
Data should be considered a hero in this.
Well, yeah. I mean, and later on, Pulaski says that he is.
Yeah.
Everyone I mean, he does save an entire planet.
Yeah. Which, we'll get into that later. But holy cow, when they violate the Prime Directive, do they ever violate the Prime Directive?
And they totally do. Data beams down to the planet.
All right, violation number one.
Yeah, he's in Sarjenka's house. He, like, opens the window, basically, and he sees, like, a whole bunch of volcanoes and stuff. This is what we knew. Like,
it's all shaken.
Yeah, and this is what Wesley had reported to Picard. Like, there's dilithium crystals are doing this. They can maybe fix it if they fix the harmonics. So they can probably fix what's going on. Mm-hmm. And he's looking out the window and he's seeing the devastation of this planet. And he's trying to find like people and warn them like, hey, I can take you to a safe part of your planet. You know, maybe we can interfere the least way possible. But everyone's gone. Sarjenka shows up and it turns out she has returned home to receive the transmitter because she was like, I knew, Data, you wouldn't abandon me. This is also when she finds out what Data looks like.
Yeah.
You know, she's a little red alien girl.
Mm-hmm.
And
huge pinkies.
Huge pinkies. That was a weird, like, thing that this alien race has, I guess.
Big and, old pinkies.
You know, she sees Data. She's like, oh, Data, okay, this is what you look like. I was coming back to get my transmitter because I wanted to contact you in case, you know, you came back to save us. So Data's like, okay, two to beam up.
Violation number two.
Another violation.
Huge violation.
He shows up with Sarjenka, and this is the part that was weird. Miles O'Brien is like, uh-oh, man, there's going to be hell to pay.
Yeah.
Wait, he said two to beam up, right?
Right. Miles would have known.
What the hell did you think he was doing?
I don't know. Well, does Miles even get to make decisions
like
that?
I guess not.
He just
takes
orders.
Data is a commanding officer.
Yeah, he's just doing his job, you know? He wants this coffee break. He doesn't care.
I guess so.
It's like 2-6, whatever. I got other shit to do.
So, yeah, he takes her back to the ship.
Aww.
And Sarjenka doesn't want to leave him.
No.
She's
very
around,
clingy.
Very clingy. He's like, well, I guess I got to take you to the bridge. He gets to the bridge, and Picard is pissed.
Of course! Of course he's pissed!
Like, this is a big deal.
I think this is yet another violation.
I think it's interesting, though, the first thing he says is, you have brought a child to my bridge.
Not an alien who doesn't know warp technology exists.
Right. Yeah. Not like you have just court-martialed all of us, you idiot.
Yeah, you dummy.
So.
Goddamn robot!
They try to, like, bring her to sick bay, and, you know, Troy, it's like, it's a too long scene where Troy is, like, trying to get Sarjenka, and she's like, no, I have to stay with Data. Okay, fine. We get it. She stays with Data on the bridge.
Yeah.
They shoot some photon torpedoes to, I guess, fix the harmonics of the dilithium crystals in the Earth, or not the Earth, the planet's crust. And it fixes it. Immediately. It fixes it immediately.
Okay. Violation 3 or 4?
Yep.
Yeah. They just stopped this planet from going away.
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
Blatant disregard for the Prime Directive.
I don't understand how it works.
Well, no, there is no Prime Directive anymore.
It basically just is not a plot device.
They don't care. They're rebels at this point. Renegades. I mean, Enterprise should be on the run from the Federation after this.
I think their loophole was that she asked for help. I think that's how they explained it, right?
But they're already so deep into breaking the rules, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't work as a plot device now.
No!
Because they should.
I'm sorry, but these million people should have died.
According to the rules of the Prime Directive.
Right. Or you break them.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Or you break them, which is fine, because, hey, I'm all for saving millions of lives.
Right, exactly. But you can't say we follow the Prime Directive.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You're part of the Maquis now.
Yeah.
Come up later.
Okay, Deep Space Nine thing?
Yeah, yeah, that's okay. The rebels against the Federation.
Oh, okay.
But you're not, you're ignoring everything you stand for.
Yeah.
What the hell?
It doesn't matter.
Dude.
So they're taking Sarjenko back to sick bay, and they tell her it's like,
it's nothing precious anymore.
Apparently not.
Oh, I'm so frustrated.
I mean, I'm not a constitutional scholar. I'm not a Prime Directive scholar. I'm not on the Supreme Court of the Federation or whatever.
Listeners, please help
us. If you know anything about this.
This episode is infuriating. I was yelling more at the TV than I am into the microphone.
Someone did respond to us on Twitter. I think it was Engineer.
Yeah, Engineer PE. And I'll read his tweets in a moment.
Yeah. He did bring that up. The same thing that we're yelling about and we're yelling about when we were watching this.
Totally.
I don't get it.
No, it's stupid.
But so they try to undo the damage by taking Sarjenko to sickbay. Picard,
you can't undo this damage.
I mean, Picard tells Pulaski, hey, can you erase memories?
And where did this come from?
Apparently you can.
You just wipe people's minds? Isn't that a bigger violation?
Yeah, I guess
Shouldn't there be something ethically wrong with erasing the brain and the memories of an entire person's existence?
So what gets me about this part is that she doesn't really know if you can do it or how to do it.
And she just does it.
She just tries anyway.
With their magical medical devices, you can just wipe brains? What's stopping the Federation from just wiping all their enemies' brains?
I mean, why wouldn't you?
How horribly corrupt is this system, Patrick?
It's pretty bad.
What the hell?
Sarjenko shows up. She picks up this stone called, and Pulaski says, like, it's an Alanin Singer stone. It produces a different harmonic noise for whoever picks it up. And she asks Data, what does it say for you? He says, nothing. I'm a machine. I don't think she knows that Data's a machine yet.
She also just gives him a knowing look when he says this, right?
I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, cool.
She's a kid. She doesn't know. You know,
whatever.
So they tell her, we're just going to
She's not going to know about it soon enough anyway.
Yeah, we're going to do some scans, and they knock her out. And then they steal her memories.
My God!
She's still...
What horrible people!
They abducted her.
They do it to cover their own asses. They broke the law, and now they're covering their own ass. By erasing her memory. What the hell, dude?
Looking back...
They're bad people in this episode.
This is literally an alien abduction.
Yeah!
From her perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
She was literally abducted by aliens.
Yeah, and then the details wiped away, but not very well. So she's going to have, like, I remember a robot.
Okay, it gets worse, though.
Oh, God.
It gets worse.
Oh, that's right! It does!
Okay, yeah, because... Data carries her. She's passed out, right?
Yeah.
Carries her to the transporter room, beams her back down, puts her back to sleep in the bed, and puts the Alanin Singer stone in her hand.
So now she's going to wake up!
She's going to wake up with this thing. Yeah. Maybe vague memories of being on a spaceship.
Yeah, they're not sure.
Right.
And it's going to start singing to her.
Yeah, her planet is fixed now, by the way.
Yeah, and she's going to be the only one saying... Aliens saved us!
Yeah, mommy, daddy, I have vague memories of my robot friend Data, and he gave me this, and they're like, you're getting a lobotomy.
Yeah, it was God, or whatever they think.
You have no idea what they believe now.
Right, yeah.
She could be vivisected because they think she's a witch. You don't know how this pre-warp society works, Data, you idiot!
You morons!
Why did
you
leave that thing with her?
Oh, my
God. You could have very easily not done that.
You're trying to teach Wesley how to be a leader in this, and you are all horrible examples of leaders.
Well, it's like, okay, I get why they saved the planet. I get why they
brought
her back.
Morally, it makes sense.
It's they shouldn't have done it, probably, but I understand. Like, they're in a dilemma. Why did you leave that artifact from the spaceship with her, though?
Yeah, because now you've just proved she's going to be crazy.
Yeah. You're like gaslighting her.
Yeah. That's right. Come on. And how come nobody called him on that? And by the way, so this guy, Data, has been breaking the rules the whole time.
Yeah.
And they send him alone to bring her back?
I know, yeah. Send anyone else.
Send Geordi!
Like,
come
or
on!
Worf. Yeah, Worf definitely didn't want to do this shit.
Yeah, at least he'll make sure it's done cleanly. Not the one who's been screwing up the entire time.
It's just like a covert mission, and he just left evidence of it.
Yeah.
It made
like
no
Bay
sense.
It's like Bay of Pigs.
Yeah.
This is Bay of Pigs.
Bay of Pigs all over. So
they really need to read their history.
So, yeah. Data has to go to the ready room and apologize to Picard, you know, for putting him in this difficult position. I think this is when he gets the tea Earl Grey hot, by the way. But the captain says, you know what? I'm still grateful, you know, that some obligations transcend duty.
Yeah.
What? Okay. And
but when has that been true for him?
No, his duty is what Picard's all about.
Exactly.
Obligations are
duty.
Duty.
Like
his duty is his obligation.
Exactly.
Yeah, like,
where did this episode come from?
And this doesn't sound like Picard at all. And then Data is saying, well, you know, I'm fine that Sarjenka won't, you know, remember me, but I'm glad I'll be able to remember her. And you know, Picard's like, well, you know, it's just another thing about being human.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it,
Patrick. I'm exhausted now.
I'm so sorry, listeners.
If that I got heated,
it makes no sense.
Its episode came out of nowhere. Last week was so good. I know season two hasn't been perfect, but it's a lot better.
A lot of bright spots.
A lot of bright spots. And then this one just like establishes a new low. Almost for me, a new low for the entire series.
I mean, they contradict themselves a lot with this one.
I think that's my problem with it. In some of the bad season one episodes, at least there was nothing that they had established in the universe to like go off of. It's just not a well-executed episode. This one, it's like they've ignored the series to date and then made a garbage episode.
Yep.
I don't know. I love Star Trek. I talk about it all the time. I love this show. And when you see writers and producers and whoever, I don't know, treating an episode like this and letting this go out the door, it's frustrating as a fan.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to be consistent with your own rules, man.
Yeah. And I'm gonna read that tweet that engineer shot us about this episode.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, please
do. So I did throw out, not to like plug early, but... on Twitter, from @PetLikesToTweet, I threw out, like, hey, we're going to be watching this episode. If you have any thoughts on it, hit me up, and we'll read it on the podcast. So if you follow me, I'll continue to do that. This is @ENGRPE. Engineer is what he goes by.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for supporting the show, by the way.
Yeah, thanks, man.
It's always great talking to you on Twitter. I hate pen pals. It shows that Starfleet is capricious about the Prime Directive. Then he follows it up by saying, command staff should have been court-martialed.
Damn, that's harder than me, man.
Yeah, but it's true.
I guess so, by their own rules.
Yeah, I try to pretend this app did not happen. And then his last tweet is a picture of Captain Kirk from Wrath of Khan screaming, Khan, but he's also screaming about how horrible this episode is.
Dude, it sucks.
All right, well, I think we've kind of spoiled it, but this is the part of Patrick where we like to rate what we just saw. If we thought it was amazing, you must watch it. We set it to kill. If we think, eh, it's pretty good, comes up in the queue, you give it a watch, we set to stun. And if it's like, avoid at all costs, this is terrible, no reason to watch it, we leave it in the holster. So, Patrick, what did you think?
I'm going to go with leave it in the holster for a couple reasons.
Okay.
One, for the things that Engineer P.E. said. You know, whatever they want to do with the Prime Directive is whatever they feel like doing at the time, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I learned through this episode. They clearly violated it. I understand why they did. And I do actually like, you know, the moral quandary that they're in. Mm-hmm. I don't really mind that they violated it, but, like, the way that they did it, it was just, well, how are you going to explain this to higher command?
You're not going to. You're going to cover it up.
You're
going to
cover it up.
Yeah.
They already got in trouble for that stuff before, and it was a huge scandal, and it turns out it didn't actually happen. And, you know, like, this, well, now you actually are breaking the rules. You should be court-martialed.
Yeah.
That's what has to happen now. And I'm sure this will never come up again.
No.
The other reason it's leaving in the holster is because the first 30 minutes were about scanning rocks. And I'm sorry, that shit is boring.
I
don't want to see that.
Yeah.
So leave it in the holster.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear. I agree with you completely. Not a good showing. And what makes me even more frustrated is that this is right on the heels of a Set to Kill episode. So my hopes go up. And then they go right down. I love this show so much. And what I love about it is the in-series continuity. Like, that's something to me that's super fun. So when Captain Picard orders Earl Grey, right? I love every time he does it. I get excited. I want to yell it back at the TV like, yeah, Earl Grey, hot. Just because I've seen it so many times. It's great when you start to see these like patterns and these behaviors get established.
Wow, you're really easy to please, Pat.
Well, no, but it
must devastate you when one of these really shitty episodes
comes
up.
Dude, it breaks my heart. No, it really does. It breaks my heart. Just like this election.
Yeah.
No, but it does. It makes me very frustrated because I know what they're capable of.
Right.
And there's some amazing television that I love. And watching this, it's like, does nobody care?
Sometimes,
is there anything to care about anymore?
Sometimes you fire off a dud, man. This wasn't a good one.
No, I think this is a low point of the series for me.
Really?
Yeah, it's worse than The Battle.
Than The Battle. You hated The Battle.
I know, worse than The Battle. Yeah. And again, not in the best mood, but
yeah.
Worse than The Battle. It's kind of like
it is not as bad as Code of Honor.
No, it's like it's getting close.
Code of Honor was really bad for a lot of reasons.
But different
if we're
reasons.
Talking about like Code of Honor Skin of Evil stuff, like that is unwatchable.
This
was just kind of boring and it like didn't fit the logic of the show.
Right. Well, see, as an avid fan, that's why I put it on that level.
Okay.
Is because
all right, I'll buy that.
It doesn't fit. You're like, what are we watching? And again, it's like, is there no justice?
Well, there's no justice system in Star Trek if they're not gonna be like tried for this.
No. And they might as well have murdered somebody and hid the body.
Well, didn't Picard murder himself?
He did.
I don't think that counts, though.
No, that doesn't count. That's different. They're all a bunch of fugitives together now.
Right, basically. Yeah, they broke the law.
For the rest of the series.
For the rest of the series, but this will never come up again.
As Engineer P.E. said, let's just forget that this
one happened. Let's forget that it happened. Let's erase this part of our memory. And
we'll
move
just have
on.
Vague...
I have this stone that's singing to me for some reason. Everyone says that I'm insane.
Yeah. There's a couple of really good ones coming up, though. Q Who is next.
That is next. Chris Geiger specifically requested.
He'll be on
that one.
And you and Chris Geiger have some Twitter beef going on.
Oh, no. We always yell at each other.
Yeah.
We used to live next door to each other at college. So if you ever see us yelling at each other in Twitter, I'm like constantly saying, it's like, Chris, I'm going to tuck you into bed at night and short sheet you every single night and kiss you on the forehead. Or like, and he says similar stuff to me.
Yeah.
We're just joshing.
Yeah, just joshing.
Kinda.
All right. Is there anything else you want to say about this episode?
Yeah, it sucks. Chris Geiger, look forward to seeing you next week where I will cyberbully you IRL.
Yeah. I can't wait to see you, Chris. I can't wait to talk about Q Who. I can't wait to talk about a different episode.
I love the Q episodes, man.
Yeah. You know, recently I've been talking to a lot of people about Star Trek on Twitter, and people have a mixed reaction to him.
I like Q.
I think there's a love-hate kind of thing going on with
Q. I can understand why that would happen. I get it.
Yeah. I love Q.
He mixes things up. I respect
he
that.
He does. That's what this episode could have used. A little mix it up. A little Q. Then he could have just solved the problem, and we wouldn't have to be worried about the Prime Directive.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're done, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Not really. We're kind of on a hiatus with Politics Off right now.
Yep.
Both of us are busy with a lot of political stuff at the moment, like real life stuff, and also this show. I'm going to devote a lot of time to Pat Trek instead. And also... is it Peaches and Hot Sauce? We're going to be making more videos, and we will have another studio.
Yeah,
next
December
month.
1st, we move into the new place. So if we want to leave my couch, we can, but I've kind of liked it here.
It's not bad.
I don't got to leave my house, so I don't mind that.
That's always a plus.
Ozzy's a little pain in the butt.
That's okay. I don't mind him.
Yeah, he's great.
But yeah, thank you all for listening.
Yeah, thank you. And I hope we didn't lose all of you for two reasons. One, our Trump talk, and two, the fact that we hated this episode.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not going to hide my feelings about anything.
Yeah, I'm not going to hide my feelings about either of those things, though. They're both legit not great. Please, leave us reviews on iTunes. If you leave us a review, we'll read it on the show. We didn't really get any new ones between this week and last week. We're stuck at 17. Get us to 18, maybe even 19 reviews.
Whoa, then it can vote.
Yeah. And again, we will read it on the show if you leave it. Follow me on Twitter at PatLikesToTweet because Facebook is for noobs.
Let's see what's out there.
Peaches. Hot sauce. 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 Peaches. Hot sauce.